Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Back on the stand today in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, who will continue to be cross-examined by Trump's attorneys. Donald Trump has just walked into the courtroom himself. Protests on college campuses across the country coming as college commencement day approaches. USC has canceled its main graduation because of protests. So far, other schools are waiting to see what happens next.
At Indiana University, police warning students to remove their tents or face suspension or expulsion.
You've been given two warnings.
Later, taking at least 30 people into custody. At Northwestern University, our Chicago station, WLS, capturing video of students setting up a new encampment, vowing to occupy the area until the university stops supporting Israeli occupation.
ABC Stephanie Ramos, Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Beijing, saying there has been progress on resuming communications with China on critical issues. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Officials from the Green Bay area are in Detroit for the NFL draft. The big event will be in Wisconsin next year, and the people putting it on are getting an idea of what it takes to pull it off. It's not just government and tourism officials, but also owners and managers of restaurants, bars, hotels, and security companies. Local leaders are deciding their next move after the Universities of Wisconsin announced plans to pull out of Richland Center. Critics say the UW is breaking a long-term lease.
Local leaders really did not have advance notice. This letter just showed up. And obviously it leads to a huge economic hole for the counties that own these facilities.
State Senator Kelda Royce, the UW system is shutting down 5 2-year branch campuses in all. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth Mayor Roger Reiner delivered his first State of the City address on Thursday, mainly focusing on housing issues the city is facing. During the speech, Mayor Reiner announced there would be no property tax increases in Duluth in 2025 and called for more single-family homes to be built in the downtown area. The city and private partners are hoping to add more than 1,000 new residents to the downtown area, along with more retail locations. The speech also covered commercial tax, streets, and utilities. A Northland County animal shelter is offering discounts on adoptable dogs who are at least 1 year old. Currently, the animal shelter has about 20 dogs that they're caring for, but it can only take in a total of 27, so space is beginning to run short. Officials are hoping the discount will encourage more potential adopters to consider the older dogs, which are always more difficult to pair with a new home. The older dogs are all spayed and neutered, up to date on vaccines, and microchipped. The sale has been extended through Sunday. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers draft a left tackle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers picked Jordan Morgan, a left tackle out of Arizona, in the first round. Morgan says he's watched a lot of tape of former Packer David Bakhtiari over the years.
Really strong arms, really strong upper body, and he can really lock people up, which is where I get my game from. I like to just lock people up and stalemate. And, I mean, he's just a dog.
At the 25th pick, did the Packers ever consider taking offers to trade down GM Brian Gutekunst?
There was a couple things we were looking at to make sense to move backwards. At the end of the day, because Jordan was available, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make sure we secured the player.
Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean was not selected. He'll still be available tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Pirates, thanks to a 2-run homer by Gary Sanchez. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he's a veteran hitter, and he's given us a big lift doing that. I mean, it won the game for us.
NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers in Indy tonight for game 3 of their playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers developing by this afternoon. Our high today, 57, with wind out of the southeast at 15 to 25, gusting to 35 to 40. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms, 45 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered thunderstorms and a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As promised, Sandy and I are spending these 2 hours talking about the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, and these accomplishments that hailed by the White House. And so it's really important that if you think that this is propaganda, you know, you can go to the White House. And Sandy, all you have to do for the most part is Google accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in their in his first 4 years.
Well, you can find other data sources. I mean, the White House obviously is going to tout itself in its own ways, but you can look at news media that and have tried to compile this as well. And most of them try to be more even-handed and talk about the ups and downs associated with it. We were talking about the pandemic process, and I think we all should try to take ourselves back in time to remember what it was like, during the Trump years, during the last Trump years. The last Trump year was a huge deficit, and much of that deficit was prompted by the response of the Trump administration, which was to immediately implement huge deficit expenditures to try and support the economy associated, because of the pandemic. So we had the PPP plan that went into place, which was this loan plan to try and that was forgiven if people rehired workers. And it was fraught with corruption, but it was the kind of thing that the government needed to do. And it's the kind of thing that the Biden administration continued. During the Trump years, we had a great deal of chaos with respect to the pandemic. Politicizing the mask and all kinds of personalization issues ongoing without necessarily any process. There was absolutely no recommendations given to the states. The states were told to do it on their own. And the federal government under Biden became much more organized in its response. You know, was its response perfect? Undoubtedly not. But the response was organized, and we got through it. And we got through it without a recession. And we came out of the pandemic, and we should all understand that the pandemic was a time of shortage because there was a great deal of problems associated with manufacturing things during that time period. China shut down. China was the source of many parts. So coming out of that pandemic was almost certain to be an inflationary time. You had shortage and pent-up demand, and when the shortages became less acute, the prices got bid up on the stuff. And we should also note that the inflation didn't really take off in the world, even with the pandemic easing, until the Ukraine war and the generalized effect of the Ukraine war, which had an effect on commodity pricing of food, but primarily on oil. And the oil price flew up after the Ukraine war, and that created a worldwide inflation. So the United States level of inflation was never more acute than the worldwide level of inflation, and in fact, it was less severe. And the level of inflation in the United States receded more rapidly than it has receded in the rest of the world.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call, as always. You say what?
Good morning. What a beautiful Friday. Way to end a good week here. But, hey, thanks for the show, and thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, the response that you got, the text response that you shared with us, right before the top of the hour, as I recall, about
propaganda.
Basically your attempt in being characterized by somebody as propaganda. That speaks volumes just out of itself. So here, we the peeps, a group of us, with you being the lead and your show being the lead, want to talk about truth and try to provide clarity and shed light on something that is needed like no other time in my lifetime here in America. And that's the kind of response you get, is you're being talked down to. You're being discarded as being classified as a part of the problem instead of part of the solution. But having said that, the difference between the two candidates for president couldn't be more stark. The accomplishments of Biden have included other things that haven't been talked about, at least that I haven't heard yet, including, the solidarity of NATO.
Yeah, we've got that on the list. Go ahead.
And standing up to Putin.
That's on the list as well.
But for me, there's been huge investment in battery plants. Domestic battery plants, that being my wheelhouse. I think there's seven different regional battery plants that are in construction or about ready to open up. Considering how far we have been behind technology and how little credence we had really given the electric vehicle solutions, it's pretty remarkable to put, I don't know how many billions, I think I heard it's $25 billion in investment in battery technology.
Well, the CHIPS Act, the CHIPS Act, which also was for the chip plants. I mean, the fact is that we have let the competitive marketplace shift the competitive competence with respect to electronics to Taiwan and China away from the American shores, so that South Korea, Taiwan, and China seem to sort of control the technological world you're describing. And, Biden has responded to that.
Well, we have, and we've done it, I think, above the table. We've done this in front of the people. This has been very transparent. It's been talked about. And yet, we have so many of people on one side of the aisle that just keep on slamming the door in the face of truth. And that's, I don't know how else to say it, but that's what it looks like to me. Let me just finish the call with this one point. The Biden family has been accused of all kinds of things. First it was Pokey Joe and Sleepy Joe, then it's Crime Family Joe. Well, I don't know any crime family where the leaders, and in this case, Mrs. Biden, still works full-time and has a full-time job is still serving the community, if you will. I don't know of that. So just to be able to withstand the Hunter Biden attacks over and over and going on and on, yet the personal attacks, when, darn it, we have a lot of work to do. We need government that works for all people. It just seems like, the slope that this man has tried to climb has been impeded time and time and time again by the other party. So, anyway, thanks for letting me share my opinion.
Hey Mike, it's always great having you on. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
First of all, happy anniversary to you and your lovely wife. That's a wonderful thing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And, you know, I guess, you know, a lot of times it's hard to say where we've come from, where we've been. And in all honesty, I believe that Joe Biden and the people that he chose to work around him saved what could have been total loss of our democracy. When we had characters from different states putting in false electors, scheming to keep Trump in the White House, Biden didn't have to run. He didn't run at first when he could have, but he saw what the devil was happening. All of us that are paying attention saw what was happening. We saw a man in the White House who didn't want to be disturbed before noon because he wanted to sleep and he watched his TV and how they were portraying him. We heard from people who worked with him, aides, people who were on his right-hand side, say that he is not able to do the job. He did not listen to briefings. He wanted things shortened because he didn't understand. He didn't want to learn. He focused on parades for himself. He focused on how wonderful he was. And the thing that scared me the most is I watch live, and when I saw Ryan Priebus, the heads of the different departments, sitting, because remember, Trump used to have everything on camera, what he did, and they were around a long table, and they were discussing, they were going to have a meeting, and of course it was being covered for Trump's sake. And the first thing they did is they went around the table praising Trump. Oh, President Trump, you're the best man we ever had, and oh, you did such a good job. And he was just starting in office, and I was mortified. And then the audacity to want military, and the audacity of watching him live in other countries pushing people out of the way so he could run to the front to get his picture taken. And the people in other countries with all of their protests of what they saw in America saying, don't let this man in our country. Come on, folks. This is so frightening. And the Supreme Court justices, I watched those hearings. He put in those justices. And they're more worried about what's going to happen in the future than what happened to us, the people. We were the victims. We were the ones that were lied to. We were the ones that had our Capitol attacked and then said, oh, there were just tourists going through. I watched live on three different stations, on three different televisions, to watch this attack on America. So don't anybody say you said propaganda, because that is the most outrageous thing I've ever had. And so anyway, guys, that's my $50 worth of speech today.
You definitely had your coffee this morning.
Gene, good thank job. You very yeah. much for those words of encouragement, as always. You know, Sandy, it is an 844-967-2789. I do know, and we do know, that there are people on the other side of this who are listening. And, you know, you certainly have a right to call in. You know, I wanted to talk about the health care situation. And more people have health insurance than ever before, Sandy. And we're going to get into this.
Well, health insurance as well. And it is, even though it's very expensive, there are subsidies, federal subsidies, making it cheaper than it otherwise would be. But also what's being done with respect to the cost of drugs, which is something that has had a significant
so,
impact.
So, Sandy, the other part of this is, you know, had he not taken these things on, where would we be?
Yeah.
844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All the things that Joe Biden, President Biden, and Vice President Kamala Harris have accomplished.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about how to get out of credit card debt. It's going to sound so simple, it's silly. Call your credit card company and ask them for a lower interest rate. I mean, they really will do this sometimes. Now, before you call, get your facts together. If you've been doing all the right things, you know, like paying on time every month, tell them that and ask for a lower rate. If you're going through a tough time, like unemployment, tell them your story. In most cases, they'd rather get something from you than nothing. And if they still don't budge, let them know you're thinking about leaving. Mention lower rates you've seen from other credit cards. And finally, if you really don't get anywhere with the first person you talk to, call back and, you know, try talking to somebody else. A 20-minute call could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
There's something happening here. What it is. Ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are going through a litany of the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris in the face of things that people have said that aren't true. These are, in fact, some of the things that have been accomplished, and we really need to stop and think about it. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
What I say is continue on with what you're doing. Don't let these people get you mad because they're going to say things to try to make you, you know, look like a, you know, off the rocker person. Just keep on telling the truth. Keep on saying and bringing up all this information. Because you can't fight facts with propaganda or lies, which they have continued to do time and time again. I don't like the conspiracy theories that they brought up and all this material. I applaud both of you and continue doing a good job.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for that call, as always. So, Sandy, more people with health insurance than ever before. More people with health insurance than ever before. Historically low uninsured rate at 8%. President Biden took action to lower the cost of health care for millions of Americans right now. 4 out of 5 people who sign up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act can find health care coverage for $10 a month or less, and millions of Americans on Obamacare are saving an average of $800 a year. Since he took office, there has been a combined 50% increase in enrollment in states to use healthcare.gov, and the nation's uninsured rate is historically low at 8%. Over 16 million Americans signed up for quality, affordable health coverage, the highest number ever produced in an open enrollment period. And Sandy, you had a statistic that was baffling to me that you were talking about. Before the Affordable Care Act came into existence.
Yeah, we had 20% of Americans uninsured, uncovered. You know, the Affordable Care Act made sure that people with pre-existing conditions who otherwise before couldn't get insurance coverage were now required to get insurance coverage. I mean, the way Congress has confounded the process has made health insurance more expensive than it ought to be. If we had the mandate that had been built into the Affordable Care Act, insurance would be cheaper today. But at least we have a lot of people who are covered with insurance such that bankruptcy is not going to be their destiny if they get very sick. But there's no question that health insurance remains expensive. And that has to do not with the incumbent in office, but rather with the need for much more fundamental attention to be paid for how we do our health care. But the Biden administration has done some very direct things that have had a direct effect on cost with respect to the cost of prescription drugs.
No question.
And certain drugs, insulin, the cap on cost of insulin, and the move towards negotiating price of all drugs, the move towards trying to get American drug prices more in line with world drug prices rather than being the highest prices in the world. I mean, there is attention being paid by this administration to taking steps that actually have an impact and to trying to address the problems that Tom, Dick, and Mary face with respect to health care.
Well, you know, Sandy, even inhalers, I had no idea the cost of what an inhaler.
Oh, I mean,
for people who have asthma, if you don't know, you don't realize how outlandish.
Well, EpiPens. Remember the
The
EpiPen was to deliver
the
Benadryl. No, EpiPens were for Benadryl for people with anaphylactic kind of allergic reactions. I happen to have these things, and you know, an EpiPen went from being relatively inexpensive to suddenly going up into an astronomic cost. And, you know, there has been efforts to take care of making sure that those kind of things don't happen. But we still have the problem that that patented prescription drugs many times are way too expensive. And Biden administration is trying to take steps to create more negotiating room for the government to try and drive those prices down.
So let me ask you, Sandy, because we act as if there is no Congress and Senate. We act like a president can wave his magic wand and get these things accomplished. That's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works. And the fact is that when the more presidents have tried to use their magic wand, the more likely it is that the opposition will take them to court to question whether that kind of authority exists. Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court justice who is against the so-called administrative state, we have a Supreme Court that's probably going to, the conservative side, is going to make it impossible for actions to be taken that aren't explicitly included in legislation. That's the trend. So that the ability for executive orders to fill in the blanks that laws have left open is going to be increasingly more limited. So the size of that magic wand is shrinking.
Well, you know, Sandy, it clearly is. The fact that the American people, for the most part, don't understand the inner workings of government, and we have been led to believe that a president can do some things that they really can't do. They're being blamed for things that they shouldn't be blamed for. They're taking credit for things maybe they shouldn't be taking credit for. And so it's important that people, you know, kind of get the truth.
Well, I think what's interesting about the list of things we're listing with respect to Biden is a number of them have involved legislation. And quite frankly, it's been a long time since presidents have been able to enact programs that have included legislation because of the need to have bipartisan support, and bipartisanship in Washington has just about disappeared. But Biden has done some things to resurrect it. And, you know, you can look at this foreign aid bill that just passed.
Right.
Because one thing Biden has done, people can argue about foreign policy and what it ought to be. But Biden's foreign policy has been relatively clear cut. And he's done a job of essentially reviving NATO. President Trump sort of took NATO on and had took steps to minimize NATO. And Joe Biden has unified NATO and has gotten NATO to expend a great deal of money in support of Ukraine. So anyway, we can talk about this.
Yeah, yeah. All right. 844-967-2789. There's much more. The accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on the Earl Ingram Show. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's
going on. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is getting more than $4.5 million from Washington to help save coastline habitats. One project in Iron County will help buy and manage more than 1,000 acres of Lake Superior coastline. The rest of the money will go toward restoring the upper part of the Valley Creek Corridor and reducing the risk of flooding. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin next week, which suits Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler just fine.
The more they find out what Donald Trump is promising to do to Americans if he wins again, the more voters move towards Democrats.
Republican Chair Brian Schimming says President Biden visits Wisconsin so often because he's in trouble here. The two spoke at a WisPolitics luncheon Thursday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. City of Duluth officials are hoping their Get Downtown Week not only gets more residents out into the community to support local businesses, but also improves the overall safety of the area. According to a Northern News Now report, some residents have expressed concerns about things like panhandling in the downtown area keeping them away. Officials say that more foot traffic in the area should improve overall safety, but the Duluth Police Department also increased their patrols. Get Downtown Week runs through Saturday. A popular Duluth bakery is set to open a new facility just across the bridge. According to a Northern News Now report, Duluth's Best Bread will open a new bakery on Tower Avenue in Superior, taking over the space formerly occupied by Twisted Pastries. To gauge community interest in the new location, the bakery held a pop-up event in March to give residents a preview of what the fully opened location can offer them. The new bakery is scheduled to open on May 28th and will be open Tuesday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Let's go to the movies. If you're looking for something to watch this weekend and no new films or TV shows grab your attention, why not go retro? The 1979 classic Alien is opening again this weekend. The release is to celebrate the film's 45th anniversary. Alien was directed by Ridley Scott and stars Sigourney Weaver, Veronica Cartwright, Tom Skerritt, and John Hurt. If you're lucky enough to live near a theater showing Alien, you will also be treated to an interview with director Ridley Scott before the showing of the film. Kathy Lee Gifford spoke to Entertainment Tonight this week about her new book titled I Want to Matter. Your life is too short and too precious to waste. Gifford said she finally found forgiveness for her late husband Frank Gifford's affair with a flight attendant. To be clear, the affair happened before Frank passed away. I love the way tabloids choose their words. Kathy Lee is an accomplished host and author and creator of Kathy Lee Casuals, which do not offer menswear. So rude. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers developing by this afternoon. Our high today 57 with wind out of the southeast at 15 to 25, gusting to 35 to 40. Tonight showers, thunderstorms 45. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a few scattered thunderstorms and a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
Monday, April 29th on Nightlight, I welcome on Milwaukee.com entertainment reporter Matt Miller to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival and Civic Media reporter and personality Melissa Kay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Shake it up, baby. Twist and shout. Twist and shout. Come on, come on.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and as promised, we're talking about the accomplishments of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And we're going to do this one before we go to the phone lines. Sandy, strengthen alliances and partnerships to deliver for the American people. American ally, and this is for Mike from Kenosha. American alliances and partnerships are the strongest they've ever been at any point in recent history. A hallmark of President Biden's approach to the world to advance our interests and values. Following Russia's further invasion of Ukraine, President Biden moved quickly to strengthen NATO. Nobody can argue that. He provided reassurance and support to allies, particularly on the eastern flank, and he generated congressional support for the accession of two new states, Sweden and Finland, into the alliance. The G7 has become the premier platform to coordinating the international response to the biggest challenges we face, from energy security to swift economic costs we've imposed on Russia for its brutal war. In the Indo-Pacific, we have deepened our security and economic partnerships, and we've brought together Atlantic and Pacific partners to shape the rules of the road and strengthen our edge in the competition with China in this decisive decade. Across the world, from Africa to the Western Hemispheres to the Middle East, President Biden is building the strongest possible coalition of nations to solve shared challenges and position the United States to shape the future of the international order. Sandy, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I happen to be one who disagrees a bit with some of the foreign policies that all of our presidents have followed internationally since 1990.
Right.
But Biden has done an effective job of carrying out the foreign policy that he represents. And that foreign policy is premised on international alliances, on coalitions that stand strongly against potential mutual enemies. The fact is that there are those who call in and say that, for instance, Ukraine wouldn't have happened under Trump's watch. The only way it wouldn't have happened is because Donald Trump would have caused Ukraine not to resist in the process. It's relatively easier to sustain peace if you aren't going to be tough, okay? But the callers all kind of confuse this. They talk about Donald Trump being much tougher than Biden. It wouldn't have happened under Trump because he's tougher. I think quite the contrary. It might not have happened under Trump because he's less tough, okay? And the question is, what do we want in our foreign policy? Most Americans, I think, are looking for a tough foreign policy. And in that regard, Joe Biden has clearly delivered by number one, causing NATO to step up, by causing NATO to become much more of a solid alliance, to expand NATO. We just had France yesterday announcing that they were going to substantially increase their defense expenditures. NATO is recognizing the risks they face and have decided that they need to bear more of the burden themselves, and not rely so much on America. This is what Trump wanted. Biden is accomplishing it. So I think Biden's foreign policy has been a very effective one, given the kind of foreign policy that Joe Biden wants to pursue.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Earl. First off, happy anniversary to you and your lovely bride.
Thank you.
Second, I'd like to say, because of civic media and because of the Earl Ingram Show, I have been giving platelets at the Red Cross for the past 2 months every single week.
Congratulations.
So I want to thank you guys for that. And I want to respond, or want to say out again to all gay men out there, we can give blood now. So please go give blood and save someone's life. Third, I want to say that, you know, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that the power lies within us. And one thing that Joe Biden has brought to the country is he's brought calmness, I believe. He's brought non-chaos. He has talked about democracy, not about autocracy or one person that's going to save the day. He's talked about we the people having to save the day.
And I think that's the biggest difference between him and the previous occupant of the White House, is that one is about we the people, and one is all about him, and all about chaos, and all about drama and shock doctrine, and shock, shock, shock all over the place, so they can actually take more rights away from us. And then the comparison I would make to this, for the people of Wisconsin, I really hope conservatives think about this. The difference between a Scott Walker versus a Tony Evers administration, one was chaos, one was divide and conquer, one was hating your neighbors, whereas at least now with Tony Evers, we get back to just having a beer and talking about good things and having a spotted cow and enjoying each other's company. And honestly, that's the way that we the people actually become stronger, versus it just being about me, 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 me. Let's go to a Packer game together. Let's go to a Badger game together, and let's sit side by side and enjoy it. And I think we have a better shot of doing that with President Joe Biden and Tony Evers and Tammy Baldwin than we do with the other side. So thank you very much.
Tom, thank you. Thank you very much, as always, Tom. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Julie. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Good morning. I just now turned on because I had some things I had to do this morning. So I just want to tell you, I'm going to listen to the podcast because I asked you guys to, you know, tell me more about Biden. So anyway, I was just going to tell you that. And then the reason I called also was that Tom said he gave blood. So I want to thank him for giving blood because somebody saved my life with their donation of blood. So I just want to tell him thank you.
Yeah, well, so Julie, I mean, we talked about many things, lowering costs of families' everyday expenses, more people working than at any point in American history, making more in America, reduce the economy and change the course of the pandemic, rebuilding the infrastructure, on and on and on. There's so many different things that President Biden and Kamala Harris have presided over the last 4 years. Since you just joined us on Tuesday, we will be talking about the accomplishments of then-President Donald Trump. But clearly, part of all of these things is, and Sandy has been doing what only Sandy can, and that's really explaining, as people seem to believe, that individual presidents have a magic wand and they can make all these different things happen, that they're responsible for all the things that happen during their terms. They're really not. There's a Congress and a Senate that have more control than the president of the United States when it comes to those things. But yet it's easy to point the finger and talk about Joe Biden. And there's been so many conversations, and I think wasted energy, about, Hunter Biden. And you know, you notice that people aren't talking much about Hunter Biden anymore as they did early on, because they realize, you know, all of that talk about Joe Biden and blaming Joe Biden for his son and whatever his son did really was, you know, didn't really matter a whole hill of beans with all the other things that are going on in this country that need to be fixed, Julie. All right. Okay, Julie, I think we lost you. But anyway, Sandy, that we continue to talk about the different things that Joe Biden has done. When you talked about the Ukraine situation and where it is, and even today,
well, I think
pushback with people now.
Well, I think the ability to get at the bipartisan bill through Congress with respect to aid. You know, our foreign policy,
whether you like it or not,
our
right?
our foreign policy has become more contentious. And actually, I'm for that. I'm for us having debate about our foreign policy, because ultimately it's our foreign policy that drives our defense expenditures. And we have to figure this out. We have to figure out where in the world the United States should stand, who we should stand up for, who we should expend our great money for. But based on the foreign policy of the Biden administration, he was able to push through Congress bipartisan. You know, he did it in conjunction with Mike Johnson, but let's face it, this was done through a back channel negotiation that included the White House and the Biden administration, and they got it accomplished. So, you know, they had an objective. It required bipartisan action. Bipartisan action occurred. Objective accomplished.
So, Sen, let me ask you. You've been around politics a long time, you and I, and the fact that what people are going to predicate their decision making on whether or not it should be President Biden or President Trump is based on things that aren't these serious issues that we've been talking about. These are the issues that long term are going to kind of, you know, predict what the future of our nation is, what kind of country we're going to be. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the conduct, the actual facts of how people behave during their tenure in the White House, this is an unusual circumstance. Two ex-presidents will be running against one another, one an incumbent and one a prior incumbent. So their conduct in the White House is there to examine, as well as what they propose for the future. We have Joe Biden, who's proposed a budget, a future-looking budget, and shown his priorities with respect to child daycare and some of the things that are built into that budget. And I think we should expect to try and understand what it is that Donald Trump will try to accomplish in the future. He's announced intentions with respect to impositions of tariffs, with respect to house cleaning of people in the government itself, a number of these things are troublesome, or at least troublesome to some, and maybe to others they aren't. But at least we ought to discuss what these policies are, and not just who these people are, who walks in what fashion when they walk to the down the stairs, or all the things we're looking at in that regard. What we ought to be looking at is what are they accomplishing and what do they want to accomplish.
Let's go to John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. Your thoughts?
Hello, gentlemen. Very good topic, and because it's our tax money that we're sending over to kill people. Hello. We are making war, not peace. You can do one or the other. Now, see, these war jobs, no, wait a minute, I don't want to get too excited. These war jobs, which is helping our economy, but you just mentioned the budget. Joe Biden's budget, he is going to put a lot of people to work making swords out of plowshares.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with you about our need to change our priorities, but I'm not sure either president is headed in that direction with respect to what they're talking about. But I think we ought to try and steer them in that direction. I think the Democratic Party is having its own contentions internally with respect to what foreign policy ought to be, particularly as it relates to Israel. But I think that we ought to open the debate on foreign policy. The problem is that we shouldn't open it after we've made decisions on sort of a basis of already sending money. So we got pregnant with Ukraine and got Ukraine pregnant with respect to getting into the war with Russia and resisting. And so now we've got decisions to make. But anyway.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan.
It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I'll always love you, always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. They used to call me the one to love, who never wanted to settle down, yeah. But I'll tell you, baby, I want to know more. Got to stay around, 'cause with this ring, I'll always love you, always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. Got nothing but this whole heart of mine. Baby, please believe in me. Girl, you know, sweetheart, I'll always try to keep you satisfied, 'cause with this ring,
all right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. So, Sandy, here's what message I hope we can send to people in the audience about the importance of voting and who they vote for and all those different things. But this shouldn't be about personalities. It's too important to elect a person to become the president of the United States to predicate all of it on, I like this guy, I like the color of his hair, it's honeysuckle.
Or I think actually what's happening more is I don't like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not sure many people who vote for Trump actually like Donald Trump, but he's persuaded them that that anybody else is a danger to the democracy. Not that he's personally likable, but that he somehow is a savior against all odds, you know, against the deep state, against the liberal elite, against, you know, this opaque kind of enemy out there that needs to be confronted.
Well, that's too, it's too important a historical time in the world for us to be bogged down by, as you stated, the way Joe Biden walks or the way he talks. That's the reason why I can't vote for the guy. Or his son's name is Hunter Biden. I mean, these things don't matter a hill of beans when we talk about the things. If you can extrapolate out, Sandy, let's say Biden gets another 4 years. If based on what he's been able to accomplish thus far, another 4 years, incrementally, we'll start seeing some of the changes that are necessary to make America a better place in the coming years. Is it safe to say
that? I think we're talking not just about people examining facts, and without coming to rest on who it is you and I will vote for,
right.
I think that people ought to look at the Biden years in retrospect, the Biden budget that he proposed and what priorities that represents, and the nature, the character of the Biden years and the nature of the discourse that's occurred during the Biden period, the nature of whether we've operated within chaos or moved towards an equilibrium of organization and process. That's the kind of stuff we ought to be measuring and deciding then where we're going to come to rest. And, you know, so I think the process today has been to try to take the information from those who have compiled it and develop a list. And we didn't finish the list.
Right.
To develop a list of things that have been accomplished by Biden and the nature of the reasons why people might want to support Biden without talking about why it is that we shouldn't vote for Donald Trump.
And history will judge what the Biden year stood for. Let's go quickly to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, I got something for you and Sandy, and you're going to love it. I really need, I'm not teasing now, you're going to start laughing, a picture of your former Riviera, your Buick. And I want you and Sandy photoshopped into it, dressed up, and it says sharp dressed men. I will pay you good money for that. You can use that as a promotion for what you do,
Earl. Hey, I want to ride in that Riviera.
Hey, yeah.
And here's the deal. Earl will give you a ride if you donate this much to Earl's or Sandy, your favorite charity.
Here's the deal.
You get a ride in it.
What year was that Riviera?
1973.
And it was copper colored?
Copper.
And it did it have a leatherette top?
It had, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so anybody out there,
cream,
anybody who has any notion of where it is that we could find a copper colored Riviera with a cream leather at top.
And leather interior.
And a leather and cream colored leather interior.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh. And it had the Buick spokes.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Wheel spokes.
They were beautiful. Hey Bill, thank you very much. As always. You know, Sandy, I if nothing else, if people can understand the value of the vote, and especially where we are this time in the country's history. And you know, Sandy, as there are protests happening at universities all over the country, they canceled graduation, for heaven's sakes, at USC or one of the major universities. There are things going on in this country right now.
Well, you know what? You know how I feel about this? I mean, I do want demonstrations to be done with the right temper and with the right language and what have you. But I'm pleased to see college students once again getting activated and getting actuated in public policy. You can agree or disagree with them, but, you know, we went through a generation.
That was us. Yes.
I was at Columbia in 1968 when the famous, now they're talking about it again, what happened back then.
Kent State.
And you know, the young people were actively involved in worrying about the world, worrying about policy, and they're doing it again, and that's promising.
And we should never shut them down for that.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you as always, Sandy, and more than anything else, happy anniversary to my wife. Up next, Jane Mattenair, Mattenair on Air, and Greg Bott. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on Monday. With this ring, I'll always love you.
I always love you, baby. I never thought so much love could fit in a little band of gold. But I'm telling you, darling, I feel it in my heart, got it in my soul. With this ring, I promise I'll
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, stop by on a TGIF edition. That's thank goodness it's Friday. Our old friend Peter Rapine from E-Bomb's World stops by with a week in review. Wacky things humans do.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Hayward Muskie Festival, presented by Adventure RV and Power Sports of Hayward, has been selected as a finalist for the Cenex Hometown Throwdown Competition. Show your hometown pride and help Muskie Fest win the $100,000 grand prize by voting online at CenexHometownThrowdown.com. The Hayward Muskie Festival is hosted by the Hayward Area Chamber of Commerce. Join them at this year's fest, June 21st through 23rd, for a summer dose of Hayward fun. Remember to vote by May 15th at CenexHometownThrowdown.com.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.